Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now!
Presenting Black Urban America, one of the few Black internet radio-owned radio stations in America that discusses issues and solutions concerning the African American communities. The lineup is on Saturdays we have Carter Steed with Provocative Thought that come on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tuesday evenings, we have myself, Black Urban America, and my name is Kenny Jones. And on Wednesday, we had Tamarin Harris, Chaka Zulu, with the Elephant in the Room. He come on Wednesday evenings at 8 p.m. And join us starting next week, or probably next month, will be April Jones returning with Birth to Five, Child Development. Tonight, I usually have T. Nathan on, talk about different political issues, but he will not be joining us tonight. He had to, his son is in a play, and he's going to support his son, which is great. And I hope you have a good time with his son tonight. Tonight, I was told I should discuss this issue tonight. And since we had the Heisman Trophy and the bowl games starting basketball season, do coaches in the African American community really help our kids? Now, if we got a comment or you want to have a statement to make, or you have a question, the number to dial is 909-265-9215. That's 909-265-9215. The coaches today have the best interests of our kids. And don't you know that youth sports now is at $19 billion industry. according to, I forgot where I got that quote from, but yeah, it's a $19 billion industry. It costs a lot of money to coach kids today. You know, with the traveling squads, with equipment, stadiums, court fees, all type insurance. That's the biggest cost, insurance. But I wonder why do coaches coach kids? You know, I was coach for 27 years in Philadelphia, Jersey City, and New York. And my reason why I wanted to coach is to keep kids out of prison. That was my sole reason. And that was my contribution to the black community, to help young men stay out of prison. Was I successful? I said most part. There was some that still wanted to get into the gangs and gangsterism. But why do most men want to coach boys? There's all different reasons. Some said they want to work with the kids. You know, and then I find some that use the kids for their own gang. You know, they start one level. They want to coach high school or they want to coach college. And they have a few good ball plays for a few good years. And then, how much interest do coaches take in with these young kids? Like, I remember one incident, I had an incident in Philadelphia. And at each practice, at the end of each practice, for 5 minutes, I would discuss a different issue, whether it be school, whether it be respecting your parent, whether it be peer pressure, how to treat a female. And I was criticized. I was heavily criticized. I was told by another coach, this is not the place for that. Well, why are we here? Just to coach fundamental, just to coach the sport. I thought we have to teach these kids about life. There was a story about Kevin Durant. When he came out of college and went to the NBA, he didn't know anything about the fundamentals of life. Oh, man. Hold on. A station timeout. Sorry for the interruption. Yes, anyone that have a comment or a question, please dial 909-265-9215. I don't want it to be a short show or anything. I'm going to hear from the people and what have you. Like last week, there was a lot of listeners, but nobody, you know, can make a comment. And this is really your show. I provide the platform for people to come on and express their feelings about issues we're discussing that particular night. And tonight has to be about, do coaches have the best interests of our kids? I remember it was in Harlem. I was running a basketball league back in the early 90s. you should see how the men, the coaches, take these leagues very seriously. I thought I was coaching in the NBA. Do you really think kids have fun playing on these type of teams? I mean, we need these type of leagues for exposure, for development, player development. Yes, I'm all about player development. Yes, all about teaching the fundamentals. Yes, all, of course, nobody don't want to lose all the time. And I won't mind, in my 27 years, I had 3 championships as a head coach. So, but I use my coaching experience, my practices, to relate about issues that go on in their lives. I went to their schools and spoke to their teachers. Like after the season, especially where I know kids were going on graduating to another level, I had to recruit. And I went to the schools, the playgrounds, recruiting. I didn't wait for them to come to me. I went and recruited. And then why are you on my team? Because you only got a kid like maybe for 2 years. At the most. At the most. You only have them for 2 years. So you have to make an impact in their lives on their 2 years. And they come from all different backgrounds. Some have 2 parents, single parent. Some not working, some working. You know, some doing well, some not. Some have issues. You know, it's difference. But you have to be able to deal with these kids' issues. And a lot of coaches, a lot of them, don't want that responsibility. All they want is between the lines on the court and between the lines on the football field. That's it. That's it. If you have a question or a comment, press 1. That's it. And I find that to be wrong. To me, personally, that's just my personal opinion. And I could be wrong for that opinion. But all I know is that it was effective. It was effective because I took an interest outside of the football field, outside the basketball court, and the baseball diamond. Yeah, I coached baseball too for about 5 years. Again, why do coaches go into the field if they don't want to make a connection to the play? And this is something that burns me up. Just because there are some kids that's not as good as the starters, and they sit the bench or whatever, you don't show no interest. You don't show interest to your stars. That's it. No, that is so wrong. You know, that's one of the reasons I coached high school like for like 4 years. That's the reason why I didn't coach high school. Everything was so focused on the stuff. Yes, I know. It's serious on the high school level, on the college level. I coached 2 years on the junior college level. It's a whole different game. Whole different game. But most of my years was on junior high school level. And that is the most important time. Important years of a young male. And why I keep on bringing up young men, that's why I coach with boys. I ain't coach girls. You know, I coach guys. And football was most of the years, all the years, 27 of them. And And as a coach was getting younger, as I was getting older, philosophy changes. And I'm not saying that I disagreed with it. It just it wasn't my style. First of all, coaches watch too much TV. Coaches on that level watch too much TV. You cannot coach junior high school like you coach in college. It's two different worlds. It becomes more business-like in college and partly high school. High school is a mix of junior high and college, you know. Not everybody gonna move on to the next level. And you want to make sure that you give these kids the tools for survival and to make it in their lives, especially in the academic world. You know what my field trips used to be? I used to take them to college campuses. Check out the academic world. And the academic world is not for everyone, as we all know. But exposure. Not just taking them to games. To show them that there's another part of life that is more serious. And I think that's one of the reasons why I got out of coaching. It was losing the impact on the kids. It was like championship, winning. Yeah. Mainly more about the culture than the kids. The kids were just a vehicle for their exposure. Yeah, a lot of coaches I coach with got good coaching jobs somewhere else. But did they make an impact with their players? I know I did. I'm going to tell you a story. I had moved back to one of the towns I used to coach at. I was coming out of the store. This car pulled up. I said, coach. You know, I ain't coach no more, but I looked up and said, as one of the first players I ever coached. He's married, got two kids and everything. Meet my wife. So you're him. That's what the wife said. You're him. There's not a week that your name is not mentioned in my house. I was there and shed a tear. I went there, I got home and shed a tear. I was touched. That's what it's all about. That right there, what that woman, what the missus said, that's what it's all about. That you can say things to a young kid, man, that he'll remember for the next 20 years. Now, I made some poor decisions while I was coach concerning kids, especially gangbangers. I really did want gang members around the ball players. Because I didn't want the ball players to be influenced by the gang members. And that was the wrong decision I made. And I regret that decision. I just took a couple of gang members, made a part of my team, and really stressed the importance of being positive or trying to turn your life around and become positive. Because during the season, you got that kid life for 2 hours a day. And on game day, you really have life for 4 hours. So a lot of time, those kids are spent with you. On a basketball program, it's more time. Baseball, too. Track. But how are the coaches utilizing their time? A All you people that are listening by laptop, number is 909-265-9215. If you have a statement to be made or a question, press 1. And I am really, really I am impressed with the technology. Kids are playing in safe equipment. Kids are being taught properly. But it's one element that is missing. The kids, like, not every kid is going to go pro. Not every kid is going to go to a college. They're going to choose other routes in their lives. And I think the coaches today, not just today, but throughout, I had some sorry-ass coaches. I really, really did. I was a ball player. I was a ball player since I was 10 years old, from the age of 10 to the age of 23. And I had some sorry-ass coaches. I mean, so I could count the number of coaches that made impact in my life. One out of junior high, high school, college, semi-pro. One. And he was Italian. You want to be a black man. I played for some black coaches, but I couldn't stand their asses. Excuse my vernacular. And that's a shame. That's a crime. Like I said, let me go back to Harlem. Oh, God. Coaching basketball in Harlem, like I said earlier, these guys thought they were in the NBA. I wonder how many the teams had structure, rules. I wonder how many of the coaches ever talked to the kids' teacher. I wonder how many coaches ever asked to see report cards. I did. They hated me for that, boy. Report card. We got the report card. The cold, old no, man. But I never had a player that dropped out of school. I never had a player that didn't go to school. I said, you don't go to school, you don't play. I don't care how good he was. And one kid tested me. This was in Philly. One kid tested me. He sat the bench. He was good, too. And we were playing against a tough team. I said, this is on you. This is on you. Because you didn't live up to our teaching guys responsibility, discipline. And a lot of even black coaches as well as white coaches don't care about the person. They don't care if they know how to read or write. I got my ball players tutors. I said, you got to go to two. You don't go to two, you don't play. Simple as that. Because if you get teaching obligation, there's other things besides throwing the ball, tackling, blocking, interception, shooting, passing, playing defense, hitting the baseball, fielding. There's other things that I feel coaches are losing insight on why they're supposed to be there. Yes, you're supposed to teach those skills. And you got to teach proper skills for safety. And you have to know the game, and you got to know the change. The way the games were played in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, a different way they played in the 90s, to early 2000s, and present day. And you got to go to clinics to re-educate yourself and everything. Ain't that coaching? Coaching is a full-time job. And a lot of times, a lot of years I was volunteers, and some years I got paid for coaching, depending on what city it was. I'm telling you, coaching is a full-time job. What you see on Saturdays and Friday nights is nothing what a coach got to do. I guess that's why sometimes they really don't have the time to really sit down with their ball players, see what they're doing to teachers, but you got to make time. Because it's a part of structure and teaching discipline. And, but it was a beautiful 27 years, and I met some good men that worked, that are coaches. Then I met some horrible guys that are coaches. All they care about was W's. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a competitive person when it comes to the game. Yes, I do care about the W and L. I do. Well, I care more. It's about the success of the kid. If we go 0-6, if we go 0-9 or 0-10, but all my kids pass their grades and get promoted or graduate, I'm cool. But that next class coming, we're going to be working hard because we're not going 0-10 again. You know. Matter of fact, I never went 0-10. I'm just using that as an example. You know, my losing season is always 500. Just want to make that officially known to my audience. But it's hard, I guess it's hard to integrate both theologies. I know it's hard. I know it's hard on your day off. You go into a couple of kids' schools because you know they have problems in the school, and you got to try and straighten them out. I know that's hard. I know that's hard. I know that's difficult. I know you'd rather be doing something on your free time, but during the season, there's no free time. After the season, again, you have to recruit. And you got to get to know the kids. You got to get to know the parents. And boy, the parents are a whole different world. Oh, man, you got some parents that are pain, and then you got some parents that are understanding. Oh. Welcome to Black Urban America.
Yeah, how you doing, brother? What's up with your brother, Kenny?
Hey, Shaka, how you feeling? No, long time.
Yeah. I was listening to what you were saying, and I was just listening at first. I wasn't intending on, like, really giving any commentary. But, of course, every time you talk, like, it's like, well, damn, I got something to say. And so speaking on what you're talking about, because I was never a coach. I was, of course, so you actually teaching me something at the same time. And so, and I'm not speaking from that perspective, but what I can speak from in terms of feeling your conversation and where you're coming from is like the recruiting, for example. You heard what players like Herschel Walker, his name's off the tip of my tongue, I can't think about, like all these recruiters and how they tried to get certain players and how they broke certain college rules and, you know what I'm saying, and how to end up NCAA. I mean, the NCAA.
They are only commodities. Let me tell you about college football. It's a business. You know how much college
football. That's why the players don't get paid. And that's
football.
Why they just came out with that rule. It's a rule that they just came out with, like, that college players, after a while, only in California. Only in California
They're forming the union.
In 2021, starting in 2021.
Yeah, for their name. If they're going to use their name for advertising, they got to get paid. Don't you know football and basketball in college are the only two entities, extracurricular activities that you can't get paid? Like, let's say I'm a music student at UCLA, right?
Yeah.
And I'm on a music scholarship, right, at UCLA. And I get hired, and I sign a contract with Interscope, and my record hit number one. There's no broken rules. I get music dollars. It's still being stupid.
Yeah.
I don't lose my music scholarship. But.
Yep. Because there was a clause that was in it.
On a football scholarship.
Yeah, you're right. Because they got inner city children with parents, a single parent. And even if they had both their parents, they don't understand the legalities. They don't understand the language of those contracts. And they can't afford a lawyer. And so most of us from the inner city, it's like, oh, $10,000, $20,000, $100,000, $1 million. And so it's like bewildering to us, like not to do that. But looking back in hindsight, it's like, dang, I don't think I should have did that. You know, 'cause they take advantage of our children. Like, you know, with Reggie Bush lost his accolades or whatever. Yeah, because of they found out they took under the table deals from the recruiter. But that's one of many thousands and millions of stories that's been reported.
I would have took the deals too. Let me tell you know how much money. And
I
want to get back on
the chat.
Because
they take so much from the children.
You know how much money the colleges make off these athletes? They make billions, not millions, billions of dollars. I just told you.
And that's why they stopped making those video games. They don't make video games no more for college players with games on.
Youth sports. We're not even talking about college. We talk about seventh graders. To 12th,
AAU.
The ninth graders. It's a $19 billion industry.
Damn. And the parents is paying, and everybody paying, and ain't nothing going in their pocket. Just, you could be recruited from this college, and it'd be guaranteed that you could probably get it.
Hey, Chuck, you want to know something? And I'm going back to where I'm coaching. And I'm going back. I coached junior high school. And let me tell you something. A lot of these kids, depending on what team they play for, now the kids that played for me, they were prepared for high school. A lot of kids are not even prepared for high school that play on these teams.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in basketball, and I'm telling you, it's a crime, and it's a lot of black men involved. And you would think, if they could remember their experience and trying to change, like I said in the beginning, 5 minutes at the end of practice, 5 to 10 minutes at the end of practice, this is in Philadelphia, I was becoming more conscious and everything. 5-10 minutes at the end of practice, I'll circle up the players, and we talk about stuff in the community, in the school, in their family, and stuff like that. How to stay out of trouble, how to avoid the gang members, and stuff like that. Peer pressure.
Yeah.
I'm criticized by other coaches.
Yeah.
And a lot of coaches, it's all about what's in between the lines. On the court and the football field. Once in between the lines. Once the season is over, there's no contact.
Yep.
And I want to emphasize this.
Go ahead, brother.
I want to emphasize this. During the season, those kids are with you 2 hours a day, and on game day, 4 hours. That's a lot of hours to spend with somebody. Yep. You mean to tell
more
me
more outside of their parents, more than their school teachers. It's more than their school teachers outside of the parents.
Yeah, you mean to tell me you're not going to take the time out to have a discussion with these kids about life?
Yeah,
if it ain't for 10 minutes a day, you mean to tell me they're not worth talking about how to stay out of trouble? They're not worth how to cope with peer pressure? They're not worth how to give them the tool to respect their parents? All they care about is the bouncing of the ball and throwing the ball. That's all. A lot
exactly.
of coaches that I
and
encountered over 20 years. Now, there are some coaches now that thought like me, but it's very few. Very, very few. A lot
and
of
I
coaches
thought,
say it's about the W and the L, the win and the losses.
Yeah, you're right. And I be thinking about if anybody will listen to what I'm saying, like you got any children or whatever, they need to get the book $40 Million Slave by William C. Roden. That book right there, $40 Million Slave, it will tell you about things like the jockey rule in terms of racism and the things that plague black athletes going throughout college and professional sports. And William C. Roden, which is a black sports writer that wrote this book back in like the early 2000s, is a wonderful book. And it just lets you know like how rule changes and how players get fined, certain things behind the scenes that we don't know, the decisions that the parents in terms of the children in college that they want to make and how the coaches come in between that. And, you know, it's so many things that play a role into it. But that's a great book called $40 Million Slave. It's dealing with a lot of black athletes and the system that they're going up against while they're in their profession.
Hey, want to know something else? And this is what disturbs me. There's no way that your kid could go through elementary, junior high, high school, going to college, and don't know how to read and write.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. I'm waiting for you to think. Yo, that's crazy. You know what that meant? That meant that he got some type of talent, or they got some type of talent, and you know what? We're going to just turn a blind eye because it's making us money. And, you know, so we're just going to, like No Child Left Behind by George Bush. We're not going to leave any children behind. Even if they're not prepared for the next grade, we're not leaving them behind. So that plays a role into it. So, you know.
Yeah. I know, man. And it's sad. And he said, we're leaving a lot of kids behind. And, like I said in the beginning, and a lot of guys get into coaching for different reasons. And my reason was,
yep, you're right.
You know, you keep guys out of prison. And go at the time, a lot of guys were going to prison. It was that was my contribution to the community. And,
yeah, that's real talk right here.
Yeah, and I try to use sports as a vehicle to keep guys out of prison. And,
I love, yo, that was, damn, I ain't never heard nobody explain it in that way, but go ahead.
Well, that was my reason.
Now, as a vehicle, because
even,
you an elder, you my elder, even though it's people that's younger or whatever, that's some real talk. And that reminds me of things that I be doing, like in terms of teaching children about financial literacy, and legally financial literacy and stuff like that, versus trying to hit the corner and make a dollar. And, you know, they couldn't see that until they heard somebody like me explain it. You know, so when these young children be around somebody like you explaining things and in their lives and ways, and you using things as a vehicle to deter them from choosing that, making that left turn, and that could be a deadly turn, you know what I'm saying? And so that's a good thing that you do, brother.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, and like I said, other guys get into coaching for different reasons. And some of them was Some members is for self-preservation, and others is to work with the kids. I'm not going to say what's on another coach's mind, but I'm just going to go by their behaviors.
Yeah.
And a lot of behaviors.
And that's what I love about black coaches more than other than white coaches, real fast. Because
yeah, just
something about
let
you,
me tell you something,
it's like going to a white therapist. Going through a black therapist. That black therapist got the experience of knowing what I'm talking about. Same thing with a coach.
Black coaches just as bad as the white coaches.
Cause that's a form of therapy too, brother. Like
I was a coach for 27 years, almost 3 decades.
Damn,
I was around black coaches most of the years. 90% of them years. And let me tell you something. If I had a son, I would want my son to play for them. Any coach that tell me that discussing school report cards, going to school, staying off the corner is not important as playing on the field, I don't want to be around that guy. And I gave a sample of Harlem. I coached basketball in Harlem. And let me tell you something. These cats up there, there was one or two that was sincere. Most of them, it was about the WNLs. Kid, they looking for a star to take them with them. They looking for that ride, too. A lot of guys get in the coaching looking for a ride.
Yep.
Maybe I got the next.
And they use our children.
Maybe
and our children
I got
are being
the next
used.
Kevin Durant. Maybe I got the next so and so. Maybe I got the next this and that. And I go hang on their coattail. Or if
but
they
some parents do it through their
million
children.
Dollar contract, they're going to send money back to my team and I'm going to get paid.
Some parents live vicariously through their children. Things that they didn't make it on. I said some parents live vicariously through their children. Like some of the males, they was basketball players, but they didn't quite make it, so they want to push it on their child. Because I would listen to the basketball show, right, because I ain't never played basketball. So I'd be listening to the athletes talk, like they got their own podcast, you know, ex-NBA players, retired NBA players, and they was like, they said something that hit me, and of course I don't have my own experience. They were like, a lot of parents, they were like, don't put something on your child that might not be meant for your child. Don't live like vicariously through your child because something else might be meant for your child and they become a failure and they'll become self-deterred. Like, you know, they'll have a low self-esteem about something. You know what I'm saying? Something that wasn't meant for them. So that's just something I want to add on to.
Yeah. So, like teenagers was supposed to come on tonight, you know, do a political talk. That's why I told him. I said, man, I don't know what to talk tonight. Because he told me this morning. And I said, man, why am I going to talk tonight? And she said, hey, look, talk about sports.
Oh, you didn't know what you was going to talk about?
Nah.
You didn't come up with what you were going to talk about until a few minutes before the show started?
He said, you've been coaching, you used to coach for 27 years, man. Talk about how coaches has an impact on the black community.
That's real.
And let
man.
Me tell you something.
That's real.
There are a lot of black coaches, man. And talk about the difference between white and black coaches. There really no difference between black and white coaches. You know, my coaching theory was John Thompson of Georgetown. The way he used to focus on education and the way he used to get in the lives of his ball players. I said, wow. That's it. That's what I want to do, you know. And a lot of black coaches miss the boat. It's all, like I said, it's all about self-preservation.
In terms of
and
what? In terms of what? They miss the boat in terms
out
of what?
There that are
what
listening,
you mean?
I'm telling you.
You said they miss the boat in terms of what?
Their kids' lives. Yeah.
You hear what I said? You said they miss the boat in terms of what? Certain coaches miss the boat in terms of what?
Huh?
You said certain coaches miss the boat in terms of what? That's what I'm asking.
Certain coaches miss the boat. They miss the boat. They have an opportunity to make an impact in these kids' lives. And you just can't focus. And I'm talking to anybody out there that think about getting into coaching. You just can't focus what's between the lines. You got to focus what's in the kids' lives also. I know these kids have parents and everything, but there's some things that your ball players do not want to talk with their parents. Or they need a mediator.
Yep.
They need a go-between. Say, coach, man, you know, I got in trouble in school, man. If I tell dad, man, I'm in trouble, blah, blah, blah. And you got to be the one to sit down with pops. Say, look, you know, Raheem had a little trouble with that. You know, you got but it's not big time trouble. That just happened with me. I just bring an example what happened to me. And that's just a sample how coaches have to be important. Let me tell you something. Coaches are very important in the black community if utilized properly.
That's what I was about to say. A lot of black players that played for these white coaches, like Bobby Bowden of Florida State, and you hear people like Michael Irvin or whoever, oh, he was like a father to me. He was like, but it's nothing like that black teacher or that black coach, because that person know what you they got sympathy and empathy. In order to have empathy, you have to know what that person going through. So none of those white coaches could have it.
You'd be surprised. Not all of them.
But listen,
it's supposed to be. But not all of them.
But
you'd be surprised.
But
man.
No.
And it's so
but
disappointing.
No white coach. Yeah. No white coach can have empathy for a black player because they have to have their own experience to know how that feels. They can only have sympathy. And it's some coaches that did some good things. I ain't saying they didn't. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, outside of Bobby Bowden and other coaches that did things for these children coming from these single-parent homes. But you got to look at the top, these administrators and things like that, that's hiring these coaches that's been in these children's lives and these recruiters. And, you know, I'm only sharing it with you because I know you know way more about it than I do. You know what I'm saying?
I played for black coaches, and they were the worst men that I ever met.
Hold on. You got to speak on that.
Worst men I ever met in my life.
What do you think they died from? What do you think the diagnosis or the terms for that is in terms of them? Like they took out. Like
they didn't care about the kids went off to college. Like, okay, for example, I played with a guy in high school, right? He is now the head coach of the high school that I went to. He makes sure every year all his seniors go to college. He makes sure he had them filling out applications. He had them coach him. Lincoln High School, Jersey City, New Jersey. Makes Coach Robert Hampton. That's right. He makes sure that them boys are going to school. It'll have to be big schools. It could be Defensive 3, whatever. And they don't have to pay a dime. He's been doing this for 10 years. 10, 15 years, he's been a head coach, got 2 state championships, and he's sent all his senior classes to school. Whether they stay in school or whatever, he got them there.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something.
He got them to college?
He got them all scholarships. That's what it's all about. He is in the lines. Yeah. It's not just about between the white lines. It's about their lives and becoming men. And Coach Robert Hampton, head football coach at Lincoln High School in Jersey City, New Jersey, is doing it. Perfect example. And I know another coach. I'm not going to mention his name, but I'm about to go on the opposite. He does it again. Once you graduate, bye. Bye. It's all about the next dude throwing up, trying to win him another championship.
There's no follow-up, no nothing.
Two different coaching philosophy, two different coaching strategies. I like the one
and you know
I played with.
And you know what's crazy about that, brother, is because I've heard of a lot of coaches, whether they white or black, that's really good coaches. They do follow-ups in terms of they stay in it. Whether that person grow up, they 50-something years old, like the coach be in their lives, like some way or another, the coach stay in contact with them and they stay in contact with the coach after they played for the coach.
So, coaching is difficult. You know, a lot of people think that it's easy. Like I was explaining, it's not just the season. You know, coaching takes a lot of your energy. Coaching is like a full-time job, overtime, traveling. You know, it's a lot of responsibility. I mean, you got people in the community that are looking at you and give you the responsibility and taking care of their kids and teaching their kids activity, what have you, keeping up with the different techniques, where it's reading, film study, tapes. It takes a certain person. Not everybody could be a coach. Even if you was a good athlete, not everybody could be a coach. It takes a certain person to be a coach. And it takes a lot of energy. And let me tell you, that's why a lot of coaches don't have good marriages. Because it takes, it pulls you away from home.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy that you just said that, because you teaching me a lot of things while we on the show tonight. And what I'm thinking about is, I remember Doc Rivers, the coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. He was the general manager, the head coach, the president of operation, and he had like one more position. And what I'm thinking about, as soon as you said that, because you totally teaching me something. And it's like I'm just sharing it with you. And it's like, yo, I only think in my mind when you just said that, I thought about like, and I don't know his wife. I'm not saying that she don't get time with him. But automatically I thought about, damn, where does the time come from the family? Because, like, they think about winning. And, like, yo, you're coming to work for, you know what I'm saying? But that's just what I was saying, man. That's crazy, man.
The wife or the girlfriend got to be very supportive.
Let me tell you something, on game day,
let's say we have a 1 o'clock game. I probably have the kids come to the stadium at 7:30, especially if we got to travel.
They got to come like 5 hours early.
So 5 o'clock in the evening, all day, boom, on a Saturday. All day with the team. All day. From 8 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the evening. Okay, I'm about to call it quick. Shaq, you doing the show tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm doing the show tomorrow.
All right, man. I'm about to sign off, man.
All right. Good show, brother. Thanks for letting me join.
All right, man. Thank you for calling, man. All right. That's it for tonight, right, everyone. I'm glad you guys listened, you know, and I hope I shared some experience with you, especially the parents that think about having their children play for a sports team. Find a coach that's going to take an interest in your kid, man, in a positive manner. Okay, as always, I am because we are, we are, we are because I am. And this, my name is Kenny Jones, host of Black Urban America.
Hold it now!